music is so big. How could you do one sermon or one service about music, right? So the thing that I focused on that doesn't come up anywhere in the service or the sermon is that for years, our children took piano lessons from a beautiful human named Patty. And Patty taught us, not just in music, but in life, that not only is it important to get the notes right and come in at the right time, but the breathing, the rest, the quiet is essential for the music to take a place in us. So with that, this is the reading that informs the sermon. It's by the Reverend Anthea Ballum. It's a poem called And Rest. And rest, not undressed. And rest. There is a moment in musical rehearsal when all the players, the choir, the woodwind and brass, the strings and percussion, the entire orchestra stops. And there is peace. The conductor says two words, and rest. Voices cease to sing. The woodwind put down oboes and clarinets. The brass lay down trumpets and trombones. Others do the same because the music is over. There is no audience. There is no applause. In that moment, quietness reigns. Yet, the quiet that follows remains harmonious. There is a certain silence, a space for reflection and repose. The music is remembered. And so we contemplate the highs, the lows, the passage of melody. Sometimes we feel sad because the chords have drifted away, finished, completed. Some will feel loss. Others experience relief, and others deep sadness. Together, we share that moment of closure when the conductor says, and rest. Good morning. On this mid-August day, we gather while it is still summer, but we can all feel that it's coming to a close. One of the hard things for us to face as a community is that our dear friend Marion Feldman is moving next week to the other coast. We will miss her, and we will miss her cello pieces performed with Karen. We gather together to express great gratitude for feeding us with this beauty and sincere wishes for an exciting next chapter for you and Pat and all that is to come. In honor of this change in our lives, let us focus on the music in our lives. This morning, I wish to reflect with you some of the ways that music feeds our spirits, helps us keep resilient in troubled times, and improves mental health. There is nothing quite like a local record store closing to send a person into a whirlwind vortex of memories and nostalgia. Did any of you all go by the music store, the record store, as it was closing? Stopping by to browse the $1 and up vinyl records was purely accepting an invitation to dream and to remember. Oh, here's Lawrence Welk. My parents watched him on Sunday night. Hey, I have this one. Carole King, Tapestry. Should I get it and have two? I think I'll leave it here in case somebody needs to discover it. Lucky them. Music of some sort moves each of us. We're born with a heartbeat, and we grow attuned to the rhythms of life all around us and within us. The poem I just shared, And Rest, evokes the intimacy of an orchestra even, or especially, without an audience. I cannot imagine how it must feel for a musician to know that their skill and practice is bringing something real to the room. Like Alvian, I know very little about the different instruments or the skill it takes. That music, alone or in a group, has power to transport us through time and space and reality. So no wonder Marian always looks so happy. Knowing that beautiful music is bringing healing to weary souls, which is just a bonus to being swept up in the music itself. When I think about how to get through the days in 2026, how to maybe even rise up some days, maybe even join with others in a common endeavor, I think music could be the common force that unites us. It can always be the fertile ground for such healing, such magic, such rest. The music and the beauty of playing or singing together is that when one takes a rest, the others carry on, and the listener hears uninterrupted music. I recall learning in choir to not all gasp for air at the same time, practicing repeatedly, getting into the rhythm with your fellow players or singers. You learn what their patterns are, and you pace yourselves, taking breaths at different times. The beauty of people working on a common endeavor to achieve the creation of a beautiful sound. Music is an auditory feast, but so many genres engage our other senses too. As a child, our house was often filled with big band music and swing. My dad had played trumpet in high school, and when he went into the Navy, he took it with him. The history of the World War II era, the clothing worn by the Andrews sisters, listening to Stardust, played on a vinyl record by Glenn Miller, these were my childhood cultural experiences. Music reflects its times. Later, attending concerts of symphony orchestras or symphonic bands woke me up to classical pieces, their composers, and histories. Although my life has been filled with more contemporary popular music, where its performers have to deal with fame and media coverage much more than classical music, I still want to know about the creators' lives, the musicians' lives, because you really can't separate art from the artist. For instance, Wagner is powerful to listen to, right? Is it the Wagnerian Wedding March that a lot of people get married to? Very powerful. But we also need to keep in mind that he was an anti-Semite, which is why his music is closely associated with Nazi Germany, because Hitler loved him. Now, should we not listen to a musician because a bad person likes them? Of course not. But would Hitler's love of Wagner have pleased Wagner? He died 50 years before Hitler began his own horrific campaign, but the two are linked in people's memories. For instance, our current administration keeps pulling up pop songs to use in their videos and social media without prior permission, and the artists keep sending cease and desist letters because they don't want their legacy tarnished. Music is art, or perhaps the center of everything, as we're about to hear that David Byrne thinks it is. Our tastes are very personal. We sing in the car, we sing in choirs, we play in the town band, we have our favorite hymns, and we all notice when Marian's going to play and we make sure we're here. We know what we like. For instance, Kevin mentioned Richie Havens. I love the Talking Heads and their singer David Byrne. Byrne and his bandmates were in art school, not music school, when they chose music as the genre with which to advance their art. They, and many other performance art bands, invite their audience to more of a play or a performance art show than a simple concert, When I watch Byrne or the whole band perform, not only are his lyrics and tunes well-crafted, but the concerts are a piece of art designed to engage the music with the sets and the costuming. The genre is not unlike an opera, with the costuming and set design inherent to the music's story. As Byrne has aged and become more professorial and expansive in his musical pursuits, he writes books now too. In Bicycle Diaries, he says this about music: "I wouldn't be surprised if poetry in the broadest sense, in the sense of a world filled with metaphor, rhyme, and recurring patterns, shapes, and designs, if poetry is how the world works. The world isn't logical, it's a song." Now, as Kevin pointed out in the reading, and many of you science-minded people and musicians know, music is made up of mathematics. Or is it vice versa? Did we discover mathematics in humanity? Anyway, mathematics are very logical. The feelings evoked playing or listening to music transcends logic. The world isn't logical, it's a song. When we find ourselves in times of trouble, it is often a rhyme or beat that soothes and regulates us. We don't think about it as music, but some of us, in order to go to sleep, need white noise. There's a pattern, there's a rhythm. When we move to a new place, we get attuned to the rhythms, to the beats of where we are. Different people will understand different music to be soothing based on experience, culture, and individual anxiety response. Wailing guitars gets a skip from me. Music that we find soothing tells our overly reactive, protective brain part called the amygdala that we're okay. Singing with others, or if we have instruments handy playing together, also adds to our mental health, especially in anxious times. Now, I thought I might be doing a whole sermon on protest songs of the 1960s and our current trend of resistance singing, but of course I started researching and there's just so much more. We all know how important the peace movement folk songs were in the 60s, protests calling for an end to the Vietnam War, marches for racial justice, the women's movement. All of these crises, all of these cultural events, all of these actions have music associated. And as I was deciding which nugget to lift up for you all, I came across one that I had never heard of. The Reverend Ralph Yeager Reynolds wrote a short article in the 70s on the song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" You know that song, the Christmas song? Amid the anxiety of the Cuban Missile Crisis, Unitarian musician Noel Regency wrote the text for "Do You Hear What I Hear?" as a protest song. The music was composed by his then wife, Gloria Shane Baker. The song's allusions to the Bible stories of Jesus' birth are so strong that recording artists and the public have always associated it with Christmas, not looked further. It was written in October of 1962, during the Cuban Missile Crisis. The songwriters had been hired to write a Christmas song, but they couldn't do so without incorporating their feelings about the crisis at the time, the intense feelings of fear that people had. Music reflects the times in which the piece gets created. And so for them, the important piece of that song is, "Pray for peace, people, everywhere." You know that if we sing this in December, I'm going to be lifting this up. We are asked in protest songs to pray for peace, people, everywhere. Not just at Christmas time. Oh, but speaking of Christmas, I also love this other Christmas song because, you know, you can't separate the art from the artist and so forth. Have you heard the song Christmas in the Trenches? Its backstory is about a soccer game in World War I. The song is from 1984, but it's about a true event that happened in 1914. A spontaneous truce broke out between the German and English troops on Christmas Eve, with soldiers playing soccer together in no man's land. After the game, peace reigned as they shared pictures and treats from home. Eventually, they went back to war and being enemies. But for one glorious night, there was peace, people everywhere. Many of us have memories of where we were or what it felt like to hear that one protest song that made us feel something for the first time. Some really knock you off your feet. For me, it was sixth grade, 1978, Blowing in the Wind. I had a 45. I would just play it over and over. It would be a few more years before I understood the concept of protest songs, thinking I just liked folk music. I do, but even before I knew the whole story, it was the message of freedom, of struggle, that reached out to my soul. Protest songs didn't just start in the 60s, though. In 1939, Billie Holiday's Strange Fruit referred to the habit of lynching African Americans, creating an image of those southern trees bearing strange fruit. The song was about war at home. It wasn't patriotic, and it wasn't logical. Woody Guthrie was writing songs that matter. In the 1930s and 1940s, archiving our suffering in the Dust Bowl, our resilience we receive from the beauty of this land, it's your land, all while his guitar bragged that this machine kills fascists. Going back even further, we have the protest songs that are African American spirituals. Many of them have hidden messages that their oppressors were deaf to, that enabled them to both bolster each other and pass messages. Follow the Drinking Gourd, it's a hymn that's in our book, was code for the Big Dipper. You know, you dip in the gourd. The Drinking Gourd was the Big Dipper. The song gave directions to escaped slaves. Stories tell us that Harriet Tubman used Wade in the Water, another hymn in our hymnal, instructively to tell escapees to get into the water whenever you can to throw the dogs off from their scent. So often, a melody or a verse of a song speak to us, maybe even when we don't understand its original or deeper meaning, because music is personal, even when it is shared. Wherever we are, together or apart, in the coming months, pay attention to the music in our lives. It may be your genre or not. Look around and see who's being moved. Note the circumstances under which it is being shared. Sometimes you might have the pleasure of just hanging out on a dock with a very talented musician and enjoy soothing music without noticing much. And that helps mental health. Marion, I'm sorry this is weird. I'm looking at you through slats. Think of Castine for sure, as California does all of its resiliency actions. Allow new people to adore you and your gift. Back here in this precious community of pluralist liberals, we will carry in our hearts the connection that we share wherever we are.